Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Broke his bat back to Loaisiga. He'll throw to second for one. The relay up the line. Tigers are going to win it. What a way to salvage the series.
Oh, how the mighty, he said with air quotation marks around that word, have fallen. That's the latest loss for the New York Yankees, who are in town this weekend to take on our beloved Houston Astros. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday, September 1st of 2023. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, as you heard Spencer Tillman say, coming into the show. On the program today, we'll talk about how, at the very least, the Texans did not stab themselves in the chest by hiring D'Amico Ryans over an alternative today. We'll take a look back at some of the first real college football games of the season last night and ahead at the first real weekend of college football. A couple of decent games, but I do want to start talking about this Astros and Yankees series. Who'd have thought there'd actually be a reason to overlook Astros-Yankees in September at Minute Maid Park? I mean, if you're one of those people that actually is aware of when baseball releases their season schedule, isn't this one of the dates that you're circling as a game that you would like to go to? Probably going to be a little bit less expensive than some theoretical Astros-Yankees playoff rematch. You want to go because you can't stand them. You've beaten them in four playoff series since this run began, and yet they are probably the loudest and whiniest fan base when it comes to the idea that they were cheated out of a berth of the World Series back in 2017. This is the series going into the year that you wanted to watch. But here we are, looking past this series at the next series for the Astros, which is the climactic finale against the Texas Rangers. And look, the Astros can't actually overlook the New York Yankees. They split the last series. But, I mean, they put New York in the Stone Age. I feel like that is a big part of why New York has sucked the way that they have this season. Because I do think that there are some talented players on the Yankees. I really think it all goes back to just how summarily the Astros dismissed them in the American League Championship Series. I'm about to throw a history reference on you. Technically, it's mythology because this supposedly never actually happened. But the Punic Wars, one of the first like real big deal wars for the Romans. The Romans were fighting against the Carthaginians, who were essentially located in present-day Tunisia. And according to legend, the last time that the Romans took out Carthage, 146 BC or so, in the Third Punic War, Scipio Aemilianus plowed over and sowed the city of Carthage with salt. Salted the earth, became a saying. And that's essentially what the Astros have done to the Yankees. Do you miss them? Do you miss them being good? Are you kind of bummed out that there's literally no reason to watch this weekend series. I mean, this is akin to an Astros series against any of the bums across baseball, Sean Mapes. The A's, some of these other teams. This series does not matter this weekend.
I was surfing the web like I do, just, you know, checking out some websites and such. And I saw there's a graphic that was for each team's toughest and easiest remaining schedule or remaining series for the last month of the season. And there were several teams where one of their top three easiest series for the rest of the season was against the New York Yankees. And that to me, I don't feel bad. I don't wish they're any better. I'm glad they're in this is an easy dub column for the Blue Jays, for the Astros. Like, that to me is worth, like, I don't, what, are you going to try to hit me with baseball is just better when the Yankees are?
No, yeah, definitely
bleep
not.
That.
I'm not trying to do that. But I want to know if some people are disappointed that this weekend series doesn't even matter.
No.
I mean,
good.
They're an afterthought. You don't have to go to these games this weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. Go on a little vacation, you know? Try to sell the game to some hang on. Actually, you're going to get like a 20% return if you're reselling these tickets, right?
Yes, that. definitely sell these tickets to your local Jake Asman. Or a Jake, not literally Jake Asman, but the
might
Jake Asman in
Jake
your
Asman.
Life.
Huh?
What?
You might have to give them to Jake Asman right now.
Oh, come on.
Well, listen, the YouTube pays once a month. I'm just saying.
You just got paid. It's the first.
You know what? Fair point. That's true.
The YouTube check just came in.
The YouTube check came in the mail. Oh, we do love Jake. We do not love the New York Yankees. I mean, what do they have to live for this year? It's been really funny seeing Yankee accounts, John Boy, some other ones that have been, instead of talking about this year, instead of being pissed off online, which is what they should be doing, yelling about how Aaron Boone should be fired, yelling about how Brian Cashman should be fired. Instead, they're like, look at this prospect. So they called up some guy named Jason Dominguez with two S's in his name. And, oh, wow, he's the next big thing. But we've been here before, and they're saying the exact same stuff that they said about Anthony Volpe, who I guess has 20 home runs, but his on-base percentage is like 300. Good luck with that. Like, that's where Yankee fans are now that they're the worst team in 30 years. They've had a pretty good run over the last 30 years. They do deserve some credit for that. They're now talking about their prospects. You know, like, they are sort of behaving in a similar manner to the people who are upset about the Astros trading Corey Lee, who I guess has come up with the Chicago White Sox and is finally in the majors. And that other guy, Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford. Now, again, that was like a temporary thing for Astros fans, but that's Yankee fans right now are salivating over prospects. And like, this is the next Derek Jeter. You don't understand. You don't understand, Jason Dominguez. He's going to be a reason that I don't have to beat my wife anymore and my kids. Oh, my entire identity is based off of Goodfellas. Oh, have you ever seen a Bronx Tale? No, I'm not talking about every game at Yankee Stadium. I'm talking about the movie with the Italians. Robert De Niro, he's my idol. I even went to go see that Sebastian Maniscalco movie about my father. Oh, it wasn't very good. I'm a caricature. I mean, it's not even fun. Like, I feel like I'm punching down.
Yeah, I do like that Jason Dominguez has has the second S. So anytime you
try
can,
hard.
Anytime you can just throw the word ass in the middle of your name, you gotta do it.
Hell yeah.
His parents went out of their way to put ass in the middle of their kid's name.
Look what we're doing, Sean. This is
I know, the kid's like 20. And I'm
But I mean, this is
he's never
it's beneath
played
us.
A big league game ever.
Talking trash about them is beneath us. And I mean, we're coming here with like C+ stand-up comedy material. If that.
Hey, Giancarlo Stanton. You're slow.
Got him.
Boom, roasted.
Hey, Giancarlo, change your name back to Mike. Can't believe you did that.
Aaron Judge, you tall freak.
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton, I guess his actual name was Giancarlo, and he went by Mike.
Yes.
So he changed his name to Mike for a time. And then all of a sudden he changed it back to Giancarlo. To me, I feel like he's trying to pander to exotic women. That's my thought. That would be like if I actually, in real life, started to go by Paolo. Or Pablo. Bogalot Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. We'll also talk about something that the Seattle Mariners are doing that's very similar to what the Texas Rangers have recently done. I think it bodes well for the Astros down the stretch. But I want to talk about something I did last night. It really depressed me. So I went to the Houston Texans season premiere last night. It benefits the Houston Texans Foundation. And I put myself on the red carpet thinking, okay, maybe I'll get a chance for some FaceTime with players since I haven't been able to go to any of the training camps or media availabilities because they're at the same time as my show. So I go, and naturally, none of those things are actually going to be the case. Like, the only way I'm going to be able to get an interview is if I, like, elbow a couple of, like, TV camera people so that I can get in there. And I just stood there on the red carpet, and I'm like, I am pointless. I had an existential crisis, Sean. I'm thinking to myself, I'm on this red carpet. These people walking by on the red carpet want nothing to do with me. They just want to walk through and get to this event. And here I am, like, hoping that I can maybe get a soundbite from them. And I legitimately was like, why do I do this anymore? It was a very dark and depressing moment for me. And to make matters worse, as I'm feeling these days a lot more sensitive to the idea, mainly because of the ladies I'm dating or not dating and being told why I can't date them, I'm being very much reminded of how little I have, because the people were just throwing away FU money at this foundation, probably for tax write-off purposes, to go to, like, Texans games. And we're talking like $25,000 bids. And I'm like, good God, guys.
There has to be a better way to
spend
this charity money.
How about, And again, like, I'm sure the Texans Foundation does a lot of wonderful things. So I saw that, and I'm just sitting there, next to DJ Bien-Aimé and Steph Stradley, and I'm just sitting there, like, looking ahead, and I'm like, what am I doing? Why did I come here? Could have gone to the gym. Could have done a Gallant Says podcast. Here I am, just
sitting
here.
Could have watched the Florida Gators.
I could have. Well, no, I'm cool with not watching the Florida Gators. Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you?
You're all over. I thought you're doing the thing because you're down. A lot of times you're pretty down on your teams, and, like, I don't know what to make of it. You're down on the Boston Celtics the entire season. They made Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals. So it is hard to read sometimes, but no, you're right about Florida. Not good.
They're not good.
I had to text you in the middle of the second quarter, like, this team stinks.
They're really bad. They're really bad. Now, hopefully it's better next year. But so that's what I did yesterday. And by the way, remember when I said on Monday, I'm not going to drink this weekend? Well, your boy, of course, because of the existential crisis. God. That's why.
God.
I had a couple. Not a couple.
It helped the Texans Foundation.
It did. They were free. The food was good. although I was sitting at a table with Jonathan Alexander, Cody Davis, Big Sarge, and
you're at
DJ.
The cool kids table.
Hmm?
You're at the cool kids
table. I was. We had a good time, but they're all
looking at Cody Stutes.
You know what? No. I didn't see Cody Stutes there. I think Cody Stutes had the right idea. I don't think he went.
Cody's definitely the winner in this one.
So we're sitting there, and the food that they brought out was good, and I really liked the beef tenderloin. And then they're all roasting me afterwards, and I was like, why? I was like, thought it was good. And I was like, this is a little racist, guys. Like, just because I'm a white person and I appreciate an unseasoned piece of meat, that is not cool. It was good. And they were like, Paul, come on, bro. And I'm like, come on, man. That's not fair. It was good. It was good beef tenderloin. It was really tender. That's the point.
So not only did you have a light existential crisis.
Oh, I got roasted.
A moderate existential
crisis. You got
crisis. Also, you had to face some pretty mild white racism.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I'm just doing my part, okay? Just doing my part.
Being like, yeah, this tastes good.
Yeah.
I have some milk to wash this down with?
Oh, shut up. I'm not Jim Harbaugh. One last thing. Whoever's in charge of the Houston Texans social media team, You have to calm down. Did you see what they posted on Twitter yesterday? And on Instagram? On every single app?
Was it the new acronym that they're...
Yes, Sean. Yeah. I had to ask you what it was. So they put out FOSO, and I'm like, is this something that I'm missing out? That
is this a
Sean,
TikTok thing?
Yeah. A younger person could perhaps explain to me. It stands for fear of sell out. Instead of fear of missing out, FOMO, it's fear of sell out. And it's like, get your tickets before the game sells out. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys gotta dial it back a little bit. Okay. People are happy D'Amico Ryans is hired. People are happy CJ Stroud's here. Dial it back. The idea that you're gonna try to scare people into thinking that the game one is going to be a sellout is a little bit ludicrous right now. You have to actually show a pulse, I think, the first couple of weeks of the season to get a sellout. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I'm very skeptical of the idea that I should be scared about week one selling out.
Also, yeah, I don't understand. Like, who has the fear of the Texans selling out or having a sellout? Not the fear of them selling out. They've already sold out. No, I don't know if that's true. But the whole idea of the fear of missing out is that you have a fear of missing out on an experience. Who, like, are Texans fans supposed to be scared that the game is going to sell out?
I think so, yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would we be scared of the Texans game selling out? That we can't get tickets? If we didn't buy tickets, we're not missing out.
Like, it's a great
we're
not, point. It's a great point.
It took me like, it blew my brains out for 20 minutes when you send it to me. I was like, wait, this acronym's so stupid.
Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I agree with you, Sean. Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. I got an interesting text that I want to respond to on the other side. Plus, college football is back? Ugh, that was gross last night, huh? Stick around. We'll talk about the games.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude,
I'd be most worried about seeing my seminal vesicles.
Or like the Florida State seminal vesicles?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Astros open up a three-game series with the New York Yankees this weekend, but it's an afterthought with where the Yankees are relative to Houston this season, even though Houston split the last series with New York in the Bronx. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call or text the HRNP listener line. A text from the 315. Jesus H. Murphy writes a texter. He didn't say that. Just when I thought nobody on this station could be more of an Astros blowhard than Patrick Creighton, here we are. This station has really fallen on hard times.
Okay, that's not true. We are not more of a... no one on earth is more of a... But just blowhard, just from a volume standpoint,
he's very loud.
Than Patrick Creighton.
He's louder than me, which is saying something.
Because I think blowhard has to do with volume.
I think blowhard means you're a kiss ass or you're, you know, you are really appreciating the team you're talking about, if you will.
I always thought that it's like a blowhard was the guy who like loves the sound of his own voice and sitting here just talking.
It can be. And I mean, I do too.
Yeah. The guy at the dinner party that's like talking too much. That's a blowhard.
That can be me from time to time.
We do blow the Astros pretty hard.
We are blowhards for
when
the
they
Astros.
Deserve it. When they're good. When they
That's
do,
true.
When they
Yesterday,
take out the
people
trash.
Were mad at me because I wasn't giving them enough credit. I was like, wow. I mean, I'm not that impressed by Framber Valdez's last start or J.P. France's last start. They're like, you're a hater. I'm like, well, what the? No, I'm not. If you've listened long enough, you understand the deal here. But here's the thing. This texter gave himself away because I went to Syracuse University, and I know where the 315 area code is from. So this guy's a Yankees fan who's texting in. He said, oh, no, the Yankees are being bullied. They're being kicked while they're down. Oh.
My identity is based off of Goodfellas. I shave garlic really thin, and when I make my homemade gravy on Sundays, oh, poor me. Will the Jets or Giants ever win a playoff game? Good thing I have two football teams in town so I can pick one or the other. Ooh, poor me.
Anyway, at least he got out of Syracuse. That place sucks. As someone who went to school there, never step off campus. You'll get stabbed by townies.
Oh, really?
Oh, Syracuse, yeah. That's a townie stab in town. They love to stab. It's a, huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. Maybe it's, I don't know, a throwback to Syracuse and Sicily, huh? You know? Sicilians like to stab people.
Speaking of college.
Yeah.
College towns.
College football.
Yeah.
It was back last night, and guys, college football might need a preseason. It might need a preseason.
That's what week zero is. It's a preseason for the fans, more than anything.
It's not good.
Yeah.
That was bad football. The two games that mattered last night were not good. Florida played Utah. I told you, hammer Utah. Florida's going to stink this season. Hopefully, they'll be better next year. But what's his face? The quarterback? Like, this guy, as far as the many quarterbacks they've had post-Tim Tebow, this guy is easily the worst. And that's saying something.
John Brantley would like a word, sir.
John Brantley was hyped. But at the very least, John Brantley stuck around. Too long, I might add. But... sorry, I don't want to get too inside the Gators.
It's
the guy
honestly,
sucks.
It's honestly disgusting that they let quarterbacks wear number 15, mm-hmm. especially when one of the quarterbacks is Graham Mertz.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't understand why Tim Tebow's number is not retired.
No, I don't either. And look, Utah's a very good program.
They are a good team, but come on, Florida! Like they played with their second and third string quarterback.
Yep.
Both second and third string quarterbacks had a touchdown.
I'm spinning this as Utah is a tough, underrated program, and it's Tyrone Willingham that's running the show up there, right? Still
not Tyrone Willingham, Kyle Willingham.
Kyle Willingham? I thought it was Tyrone Willingham.
You're thinking of the
Tyrone Wheatley?
No.
Whatever.
The old Notre Dame coach.
Yes, I am. Okay. Anyway, bringing it back because Paul, he knows college football.
Paul knows ball.
Gator fan was wearing an Aaron Hernandez jersey, and when I saw that, and someone made the joke like, oh, I didn't think Urban Meyer would show up in an Aaron Hernandez jersey. I figured he'd wear a House Divided jersey with the Florida, half Utah jersey, which made me think to myself, man, I'm so down bad with the Gators. Like, I wouldn't even be opposed to bringing back lazy-ass Urban Meyer, who, look, that documentary, which I haven't watched, I hear it's an absolute ass-kiss fest, speaking of blowharding of Urban Meyer. But there was a time where Urban Meyer was the best, one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in college football. I think Nick Saban took that torch from him, but there was a time where Urban Meyer was the number one. The other big game yesterday, a Big Ten barn burner, sell the Midwest back to Canada for 25 cents between Minnesota and Nebraska. 13-10. Barn burner, baby.
I had the thought, I was like, you know, normally when these, like, when a Nebraska and a Notre, basically when the big, the Big Ten West plays a game against each other in, like, November, and it's 13-10, you're like, well, that makes sense. It's rainy and winding and sleeting and snowing somehow all at the same time. And then they play this game in, like, pretty ideal conditions in September, and you're like, oh, no, that's just what Minnesota football is. That's yep. What Minnesota football starting a freshman quarterback. They're just not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
I do like Gophers. I do like the little tradition that we have as Americans, where Nebraska gets a like prime time week one or week zero game like all to themselves.
Yeah.
And they get to absolutely trip all over themselves.
Man. So they're up 10-3 with 4:53 to go. They fumbled, allowed a 4th-and-10 touchdown pass to tie the game, threw an interception, and then Minnesota got the game winning field
and
goal.
Even Minnesota, they took a sack on second down. They did you hear that? They had a false start on that take them out of field goal range after the sack put them in, yep, like iffy field goal, yeah, range, and then they just ran a draw play for 11 yards. And we're in easy field goal range again. So
college football's back!
Yeah, just like, wow. Good job, Nebraska really had every chance to win that game.
They stay on brand. Credit to them staying on brand. Like, they have just been unbelievable underachievers since, honestly, when was the last time that they were relevant? Like, the Ndamukong Suh year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the stat that they had now lost in the last five seasons plus one game. They've lost 26 one-score games.
Jeez.
They lose five of them per season.
That's insane. While we're on college football, Sean, the ACC voted to invite noted Atlantic Coast-located schools, Stanford, Cal, and SMU. What are we doing?
At least when the Big Ten, like, just, I don't know, completely ignored geography and added USC and Washington and Oregon, at least they're adding Washington, Oregon, and USC. Like, at least they're adding, like, big-time schools.
They're schools with Rose Bowl ties to the Big Ten at the very least. Like, this Atlantic Coast Conference adds schools that, I guess, build their academic brand. Stanford and Cal, nothings in football.
And SMU.
And SMU, because we got to tap into that Dallas TV market because of all those big-time SMU fans in Dallas.
Well, you know, SMU was like, hey, we don't need a share of the TV money for the first, like, 5 years we're in the conference. We're good. And so basically they're like, come take us. We're free. Do you want a free school in your conference? And the ACC, for whatever reason, was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This, realignment, man. It's dumb.
This is the stupidest one. Because this in no way, like, strengthens their position in any way. Like, this isn't, like, they're not getting better in any way. They can just be like, hey, U.S. or Stanford, you know, they win a lot of rowing titles and have a lot of, I don't know, ex-presidents and cabinet members.
Tiger Woods went there.
Yeah. Condoleezza Rice is on the sideline for Stanford FSU.
Jared Goff went to Cal. Aaron Rodgers did too. Yeah, that's a Marshawn Lynch tradition. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, Sean Mapes has a very hot Texans take as we're 6 days away from the start of the NFL season. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Okay, we have a full slate of college football games this weekend, and mybookie.ag is where you can gamble on all of them. We're going to talk about, I think, the six best games of the week, but let's talk about the most interesting game. Colorado at TCU. TCU's favored by 20.5. I saw this clip of Deion Sanders being asked about his time at Florida State, and he basically acted like he'd never been there. I think he's a little sour that Florida State didn't just give him the head coaching job there. I really wonder where Colorado's head is at for this game against TCU, who, of course, lost a lot of guys to the NFL after last year's amazing college football playoff appearance. They're 20.5-point favorites. I don't know what to make of Colorado. Am I crazy for calling on Colorado to cover the spread? Well, you can make your own decision at mybookie.ag because you can bet on football, you can bet on baseball, you can bet on whatever you want. Live casino betting with real dealers, a sign-up bonus for new players, a real load bonus for existing customers. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
The bidet, there's a sturdiness to it. It can accommodate a fairly heavy carriage.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Catch!
The countdown to the NFL season continues on The Paul Gallant Show.
We are 6 days away from the start of the NFL season. Next Thursday, the Chiefs, the Lions. And it's not a great number as far as NFL history goes. The undisputed best number six in NFL history is Jay Cutler. Because the alternatives are Baker Mayfield, Mark Sanchez, and a couple of punters. One of them, Johnny Hecker. The other punter, Jim Arnold, who I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, Johnny Hecker was pretty good.
Hecker was good. Hecker honestly has a case to be the number one, number six of all time. I'm not kidding. I mean, Cutler's fun, but was Cutler good? He was above average. He was memeable.
It's just like how much are you docking Johnny Hecker for the position he played versus how much are you, you know, bigging up Jay
Punters
Cutler.
Are people too, Sean. Punters are people too.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's always the case of like, is the best act, like one position more valuable than like the, I don't know, 11th best quarterback?
Sean, we might find that out because most recent Texans news, in addition to putting Juice Scruggs on the injured reserve, we expect that guy to come back, they also put Cam Johnson on that list. That is the Texans punter who looks a lot like Bill Burr. And he's a pretty good punter. And we were shooting the bleep after yesterday's show. And Sean, you came out of nowhere with a piping hot Texans take that I'm just too scared to say myself. So I'm going to make you do it so I have plausible deniability.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad I can provide some cover for you in these turbulent times. The free agent that's currently not on an NFL team, after all the cut days, after all that, that can help the Texans win the most is exonerated punter Matt Araiza.
The punt god?
The punt god himself from San Diego State. He got accused of some pretty bad stuff.
Very bad stuff.
I'm not even sure if I can say the word on air.
Probably not.
Okay, good. I mean, it's printed in newspapers, but yeah, it's bad stuff. However, earlier, I think it was in June or July, all charges against him were dropped because there's evidence that he was not at the party where some, again, very bad
awful
stuff went down.
Awful.
There's videos of the bad incident. And Matt Araiza is not in any of them. And there's, again, evidence to show that he had left the house before anything had happened. So there's teams sniffing around him. He was brought in for a workout, I think.
Jets brought him in May.
Yeah, with the Jets.
Right.
He was brought in with the Jets. And I think the Eagles have, like, because I don't think the Eagles have a punter on their roster. So he's been linked with the Eagles for a team like the Houston Texans, who... Listen, we can all have high hopes for C.J. Stroud, Damian Pierce, Tank Dell. It's the makings of a good offense, but we actually don't know if they're a good offense, especially when they're IRing a new offensive lineman every day. Their offensive line was once a strength. Now it's kind of one of the shakiest parts of their team. You're going to be punting a lot. So having a great punter, having the punt god, can actually help flip field position because that's what this team's going to have to do.
Yeah.
They're going to have to play defense. They're going to have to run the ball and do all the Big Ten West stuff that we got to see last night.
Big Ten West, all right.
They're going to have to do that. They're going to have to do that to win games.
Iowa and football, baby.
Having a great punter is more beneficial for the Texans than it would be for the Eagles, for the Jets, for Matt Araiza was originally drafted by the Bills, too, another team that never punts. The Texans are where he should play.
He's still unemployed. The fact that he's been unemployed and exonerated since May makes me wonder if there's something else that is known in NFL circles that Araiza's done or has been a part of. But I don't hate the idea.
That is good journalistic, you know, covering your bases there. Of like, more stuff could come out.
It could.
Because that is a good point. With the information I know that is publicly available. Matt Araiza.
Why not?
Houston Texans. I know like Cal McNair and Hannah and the Texans would never actually sign on for
Definitely not.
They didn't draft Johnny Manziel because he got drunk on a golf course. Like, I don't think they're going to bring in Matt Araiza, who noticed every time the first few times I said his name, I had to say exonerated punter Matt Araiza because his name has a stigma to it.
Mm-hmm. It does. And yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they would bring him in. But I don't think this is the worst idea in the world. Sean, that was a hot, juicy Texans take.
Yeah, my hottest take this year about the Texans has been about their punter position.
Let's move on from a exonerated man, from a person who has not been exonerated, who has showed no remorse, and who the Cleveland Browns are proceeding to kiss the ass of, and perhaps other things. Deshaun Watson has been officially named a Browns team captain, voted on by players. He replaced Nick Chubb as one of the Browns team captains. I'm really getting a kick out of every single time you hear a public-facing Browns employee speak about Deshaun Watson. Now, the reports that I've seen, the ones from the Browns-Eagles joint practices, were that the Browns looked like absolute doo-doo this camp on offense. But here's Kevin Stefanski talking about how Watson as the captain makes so much sense.
From every position there, so you don't need that C to determine that you're a leader. Now, having said that, these players voted for those guys, and you know Deshaun in particular, because you asked a particular question, but Deshaun, that's very, very natural for him to lead. And I think he's comfortable leading from out in front. I think he's comfortable from leading and letting his teammates get credit. And that's just something that he's always done his whole life. And just the way he's integrated himself into this football team is impressive to watch from the course of the moment he got here till now. Just seeing how he's gotten to know everybody, gotten to know on his team, how he pushes them, how he motivates them. I think you're seeing a lot of examples of high-quality leadership from Sean in particular.
Yeah, Stefanski's going to be fired by the end of the year. I think that that's the thing holding the Browns back. The Browns have the talent, but I think Stefanski is the offensive equivalent of Brandon Staley. I don't think either of those guys actually have a clue, but the analytics community loves to put them on a pedestal.
Yeah, I don't particularly have high hopes for them this year. I mean, barring like an injury to Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson,
it's a tough division.
They're pretty hard ceilinged at number at third in that division.
There's no bad team in the AFC North.
Yeah, and yeah, I was just gonna say, like, I could see the Steelers having a better record than them because they're the model of consistency. You know,
and
they're
gonna
have a great defense
strong.
Just by having Mike Tomlin on the team, and it's just about whether their young guys in offense can step it up. The Browns, I mean, I love Nick Chubb, but how many more? I mean, we talk about with every single running back in the league. How many more years can he do this?
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson hasn't been good since 2020. He just has not been good. He has not played for a winning team since 2019.
He hasn't played a full season since 2020. I mean, my God.
And the whole idea that he stunk last year because of all the time off that he had, and now he's going to get better over an offseason where he's going to have more time off. I don't understand how that makes any sense.
It's interesting you say that. And imagine being the Browns' assistant general manager, a woman, Catherine Raich, being asked about Deshaun Watson as your team captain. And you're a woman, and you know about all the things that he's allegedly done. And this is what you have to say.
And to the team has just really been impressive to be able to be with us this entire offseason program and really build connection with his teammates and be able to gain their trust and do everything he's done. I think has been great, and he's been just great to be around.
Wow, I doubt she actually feels that way. If you were to give her truth serum, I doubt any woman feels that way about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, she didn't really do a great job of selling it.
No, I love how, as you said, Sean, she's selling the idea that he's here for a full offseason, and that's why he's a captain. We got to talk really quickly about a, at first, unbelievable and partly untrue story that has to do with the ever-controversial Eli Apple, who, if I'm not mistaken, is now a cornerback for the Miami Dolphins. Eli Apple has a child with somebody, and she offered to pay fines for anyone who injures Eli Apple. The tweeting account that posted this story, at my mixtapes with a Z, said that she also has kids with Geno Smith and Josh Jacobs before clarifying that because Josh Jacobs sent him a DM saying, I don't have any kids with her. And then they actually acknowledged that online.
Oh, so at, what was it, my mixtapes?
Yeah.
Offered a retraction?
Offered a retraction for the saying she has kids with Geno Smith
that's
and
more
Josh
than what
Jacobs.
John Boy Media has done.
So. Mm-hmm. That's true. But listen, he's got a blue check mark, so you got to trust him. This is a news source, at my mixtapes. That's where I go for NFL content. But pretty crazy that somebody's, the mother of somebody's child would be essentially pulling a Greg Williams and calling for a bounty on Eli Apple.
Yeah. Do you think that Sean Payton was like, you know, I like this girl's style.
Yeah.
I like how she does it.
Hit the head, the body will die. I love how Sean Payton's been like completely exonerated from all that. Oh, it was just Greg Williams. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Sean Payton really seems like the kind of person that wouldn't be petty at all or perhaps endorse things like that.
Nope. It's a little bit like the Baylor Art Briles thing. We're just like Art Briles, like you put it all on Art Briles. You put it all on Greg Williams. And just like, everyone else can just have a career again.
100%. Here's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did the Seattle Mariners pull a Houston Texans? We will discuss next.
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
The American League West race has become very interesting. The Astros, who play the Yankees, 3 games at Minute Maid Park starting tonight, are technically tied with the Seattle Mariners. The Texas Rangers are a game back. The Rangers are about to host the Twins for 3. Minnesota took 3 of 4 from them last week before, as part of a 9-game homestand that also features the Astros in Oakland. Seattle, meanwhile, is about to play the Mets in New York, and it's right before their schedule finally gets tough. They play Cincinnati and Tampa Bay right afterwards. And since they're going to New York, they decided to get together as a team and dress up in Run DMC outfits. From Julio Rodriguez's Instagram story, here is manager Scott Servais trying to rally the gang.
Unbelievable month. You guys have been awesome. Okay, we got a big month ahead of us. Keep having fun. Julio brought this idea to me about a week or two ago. I was like, yeah, let's go for it. Okay, and it's about having a good time, keeping it loose. No problem with you guys. But you dropped the Run DMC. You guys know anything about Run DMC. It's, you know, late 80s, early 90s, you know, so... I made a few calls, and I found Rev Run. So what do we got?
Julio Rodriguez rocking the Run DMC. Got the whole crew rocking it, bringing the energy to New York City. This is Rev Run. Keep repping, keep rocking, keep rolling. Y'all are on fire. Peace.
Now,
First
off, how many of those Mariners players actually know who Run DMC is? And this is coming from someone who barely knows who Run DMC is, but at the very least is aware of Run DMC. How many Mariners players, I would imagine the oldest of which is maybe my age, 34, 35 years old. Run DMC is before my time. Like, I know that.
You don't think that 22-year-old from the Dominican Republic, Julio Rodriguez, was like, you know, I really love their collaboration with Aerosmith.
Well, here's the thing, Sean. Now, other countries sometimes are culturally, pop culturally, 10 to 15 years behind the United States of America. Sometimes.
I mean, he was still born in 2001.
Well, damn.
Julio Rodriguez was born in this millennium.
Run DMC's late 80s. Is it possible that 2001 is when it made its first appearance, Run DMC, in the Dominican Republic?
It's possible.
The internet probably changed things a little bit. It's possible, though. So that's the first question I have. The second question I have is this. Is a themed getup that you're wearing to some sort of game, a la the Texans Letterman jackets in 2012, is this like wearing the Texans Letterman jackets, meaning that you're about to doom your season? A serious question. Because my first reaction was that, and then I noticed every single other person online was saying the same thing as me. All of the Houston people that I know were like, oh my God, they're Letterman jacketing themselves. This is great. The collapse is imminent. And it might be as simple as them just having fun. 2021, the Astros all dressed up as Zach Greinke for a day. The Orioles are dressing weird. But the Rangers wore real Letterman jackets and they lost. Is it a stretch? Is it a reach to say that the Mariners dressing up as Run DMC to go to New York City? Is it a reach to say that this means that all of a sudden they're about to go Letterman jackets, have Bill Belichick tell a reporter before the game, tell Doc Rivers before the Patriots-Texans game on Monday Night Football. Was it Monday Night Football? Back in 2012.
It might have been
Sunday night. One or the other. Is this Belichick telling Doc Rivers we're going to absolutely murder them because he knew about the Letterman jacket thing? And then they did. It was 42-14. It wasn't even that close. I think it was 28-0 in the first quarter. I remember watching it there and actually cackling because I remember everyone had been telling me, oh, the Patriots are going to lose. And I'm like, yeah, sucks to suck, Texans fans, huh? And in that moment, I think that everyone in sports should realize that you got to be very careful when you start to get a little bit too full of yourselves. And I understand the idea of having fun, but there is a month left in the year. And, you know, going to New York, you got to win this series. You got to win all three because the Mariners' schedule is going to get difficult. I feel like if they don't sweep this series, there is a much greater chance of the other teams in the division, Houston, Texas, actually catching them. I don't think Texas is dead, but the Letterman jacket sure is not helping them. I think they've cursed themselves a little bit. Is this, Sean Mapes, do you think this qualifies as Letterman jacket adjacent?
I think it's more, if we're just stacking like Letterman jacket from the Texans, Letterman jacket from the Rangers, I mean, that obviously goes hand in hand. Like, that's not a leap at all to link those two things. This one's probably like another step down from that, where it is a little bit more like themey. It's more of like a theme day than like a we're all gonna, you know, what was even the I forget what the thought behind. I know it was like JJ Watt and Connor Barwin and like those guys,
they thought they'd look cool.
God, that's so bad. I thought it was maybe like some, like, you know, We're trying to, you know, bring the Friday Night Lights energy to, you know, some sort of like get back to our roots kind of thing. But I think that this is not quite that. Also, though, it might look like it because the Mariners just won 21 games in the month of August, which is the most that they've ever won in any month in their entire history.
Including the year that they won 116 games and set the major league record.
Yeah, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that they come down to earth a little bit, that they maybe don't win 20 of their like 25 games
but
in a month.
But it's more based on their schedule getting tougher than this themed costume party that
and
they
just
did.
No one's going to be that hot for that long. And so this could be kind of the beginning of the end kind of thing. Like you said, the Astros Zach Greinke thing from, what was that? That must have been 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That to me is like the least of the offenses. Because it's like, that's more like razzing a teammate kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's more of like playing a prank on someone.
The Orioles had a themed costume the other day as well.
Did they? I saw that their catcher, Rutschman, was like wearing overalls or something.
Yeah, I have a thread like of all of these themed costume days, and I'm wondering, is this adjacent? And as someone who loves a costume party or two, no, I'm not a furry. As someone who loves a costume party or two, like, I appreciate this to an extent, but there is a degree of perhaps feeling a little bit too loose, considering you never done anything. Like, you technically haven't really ever made the playoffs. Like, they're a second wild card team or a third wild card team, but they had to play the fake round before they got in. They're like those teams in the NCAA tournament that get the play-in game. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well, the most interactive sports talk show in town. Coming up next, you should be so thankful that the Texans hired DeMeco Ryans over this guy. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.